the rat on the table, Goop.
Stiney. Shiny.
The thought.
Paid for me. She goes, sir, it's free when you're over 44.
On 95.7, The Game.
Good morning to everybody out there in the Bay Area and around the world. Bonte Steiny, Guru, taking you up until 2 p.m. We have a fun show. We'll get into what's happening in Sacramento with their former play-by-play announcer, Grant Napier, Sacramento Kings, longtime play-by-play announcer for the Sacramento Kings. Grant Napier relieved of his duties yesterday. We'll get into that later in the show. At noon, we'll replay the interview that we had at the end of the show yesterday with Emmanuel Acho of ESPN. Great stuff from Emmanuel Acho. Check out his video, Uncomfortable Conversations with the Black Man, now on his Twitter page and our Twitter page at 95.70 Gabe. But first, fellas, Steiny Goo, a day we've been kind of waiting for. We wanted clarity for so damn long. It looks like the NBA is back in action coming July 31st. 13 Western Conference teams, Steiny, 9 Eastern Conference teams, 22 in all. Looks like the NBA will be playing ball very, very soon.
Yeah, I'm trying to look on the bright side and not delve too much into how many teams they're taking and what the plan is, and trying to focus just on the fact that, look, we're going to get some basketball, and if everything works out right, we're going to have a champion and an MVP and all those kind of things. So I'm gonna say I'm excited, which I am, but they're taking 22 teams. I think they made it a little harder than it had to be, but I'm all for giving it a try and having sports try to come back.
Yeah, especially, you know, in this climate, just a couple of shows we've done already this week with what's going on. This is a win for everybody, and I'm excited. It's basketball Christmas. But I am shocked, fellas, that they went over 16, that 22 teams will be a part of this if everything goes according to plan. And, you know, I'm just on social media right now, and the teams that normally thought they might be going home, you know, starting their off season early, they're like, well, do we celebrate? Have we ended our skid? Does this count as a playoff berth? So I just find that funny and fascinating in itself. But it's almost like you need a tutorial or a class in regard to the schedule, Bonte and Steiny. Is it going to be the regular format? I don't know. I'm just happy. But real quick, tell me, is it my age? Am I turning into my father when I'm kind of not popping the bubbly yet because of COVID-19 and what it can do if these numbers were to spike, which you think they could spike from these rallies and protests. I mean, I'm waiting for that domino to fall. I don't want it to fall. I'm nervous. But, I mean, is that too far-fetched that I can't just get so too excited, I guess, is what I'm saying, fellas? Because I'm thinking about that.
I am shocked.
I know.
I'm shocked.
I know.
I'm shocked, Steiny.
Not trying to be Debbie Downer.
This is you. Is this the real? Is this Daryl Jr. on the air right now? This it can't be Daryl the Guru Johnson right now.
What's up? It's your boy Guru. I'm serious, man. There's a lot of gatherings going on, and I'm worried about that affecting what I'm yearning for, what we're all yearning for, and that's to get ball back on any level, you know.
No, you're
no
right.
Doubt. I feel you from that one. It is tough to transition to sports. We won't forget about what we've talked about over the last 2 days and what's been going on over this country. Of course, we'll play Emmanuel Acho's interview over at noon. You want to listen to that if you missed it yesterday right here on 95.7 The Game with Bonte Steiny and Guru. It's an important conversation to continue to have. It just doesn't stop here. We'll bring up what Drew Brees had to say. We'll bring up what Grant Napier did to get fired. That's not going away on this show. It's not going away at all. But we are a sports station, and we're going to transition slowly into sports. And when you got news like this with the NBA inviting 22 teams to Orlando, 13 in the West, 9 in the East, and there's going to be 8 regular season games per team, a play-in possibly for the 8 seeds. You know, if one of these teams finish less than 4 games behind the Memphis Grizzlies in the West, well, guess what? We're going to have a play-in tournament for that 8 seed. pretty exciting. What's not so exciting is all the home court advantage stuff that I saw yesterday.
Oh,
we'll get to that a little bit later in this segment. But Steiny, break this down here, man.
Oh, don't ask me to do that.
I'm kidding. They're going to vote tomorrow to ratify. Let's try to figure out this. try to figure out this math problem here. 16 current playoff teams in Orlando: New Orleans, Portland, Phoenix, which is mind-boggling. Sacramento and San Antonio in the West. It'll be the Washington Wizards in the East. If the ninth seed is more than four games behind the eighth seed, number eight makes the playoffs. If they're fewer than four games back of that eighth seed, then there's going to be a play-in tournament between the eighth and ninth seed. The play-in tournament requires a double elimination format for the number eight seed, a single elimination for the ninth seed. So if the ninth seed plays the eighth seed and the eighth seed wins the first game, where the AC goes on to the playoffs.
Right.
If the ninth seed wins twice, that means the eighth seed and the Memphis Grizzlies will be bounced for the playoffs, and the ninth seed will be into the 16-team tournament in Orlando. Whew, that was a mouthful. We all on the same page here, because it is hella confusing here with what's going on in the NBA. I wonder why it's so complicated, but that's as simple as I could break it down here. We will have NBA playoff basketball July 31st, but some of the seedings and how they're going to do it is a bit complicated.
Actually, just listening to you, it made more sense than it had when I was trying to figure it out for the last hour or so. And here's where you got to be careful. Like, I have a question, but I don't know even, because this is so fresh, I'm not even sure I know the answer. What if New Orleans, 3.5 games behind, just wins and overcomes the 3.5 game deficit to finish in eighth place, and Memphis doesn't finish ninth place a half game back? Do they just not make the playoffs under that scenario? I would think they would not make the playoffs under that scenario.
I'm guessing they will not. They will not.
Gotcha.
Here's for May 29th, Sham Sarania. Additional results from an NBA's GM survey. Most GMs wanted the season to end no later than October 1st. Well, it looks like with this format, the season's, if there is a Game 7 in the NBA Finals, it will not end until October 12th. GMs want larger roster, more flexibility to manage their roster, and 53% of the GMs voted to maintain traditional playoff seeding. 47 were for reseeding, so it was 50, damn near 50-50 there. But we're going to get the traditional seedings. We're going to get the traditional Western Conference and Eastern Conference playoffs. But I just wonder, when I think about all this goo and Steiny, when's next season going to start? I should be looking ahead to next season, but boy, there's not much leeway there.
Right?
I don't know.
I mean, you're telling me, fellas, for the first time in umpteen years ever, you talk about October when you'd be a couple weeks away from your new season. That's when, if possibly, you know, the finals went to game seven, the season would conclude. That's incredible. But if I had a dollar for every sports talking head, and I believe I could put you two in this category that wanted to see, you know what, a condensed season maybe. The season start on Christmas, it looks like the NBA is almost out of options. Like, that's got to be the ultimate season opener next year, right? I just don't see another plan, you know, that even work or make sense. And if you're the Warriors, you got to be ecstatic if you got guys coming off injuries like Klay Thompson. I know I would.
Yeah, but they also have guys like Marquese Chris. They've got guys like Jordan Poole. I'm interested to see how that's all going to shake out in terms of how much it benefits certain teams and doesn't benefit certain teams. So, let's just say hypothetically, most of the time the NBA finals are done, let's say June 20th or 15th, something like that. So then you have July, September, and training camps usually open, let's just say October 1st. Because the first games of the regular season now are like Thanksgiving. So it's 2.5 months really between the finals and training camp. Well, if the finals are October 12th, November 12th, December 12th, like December 25th would be about the same amount of time as, you know, between October 12th and December 25th as the time between, let's say, June 20th and September 28th. So they have to, I think I'm operating under the assumption next season will start on Christmas Day. I mean, I don't see any other way, unless it starts a little after Christmas right. Day. But I think that's the best they can do at this point.
How do you guys feel about, you know, we'll talk. Yeah, this is wild. This is wild. And you're onto something, Steiny. But what about this 22-game tournament now? Why not just do the 16? Because we all thought, okay, maybe you just need to play the playoffs. But we all agree that if you go into the playoffs, high-intensity games, people may get hurt. It's just the rust factor of having all this time off. But 22 teams, 13 in the West, 9 in the East. How do you guys feel about that in the grand scheme of things? Is this the case because Zion Williamson is in New Orleans and the NBA wants to try to get him in a playoff format and wants to put him on that stage because he's their little baby, the number one overall pick? And I get it. He is box office. He is must-see TV. But what if the Pelicans were the eighth seed? Would we have 13 Western Conference teams vying for that eighth spot?
I don't think so. I really don't. I think – I'm not saying it's 22 teams because of Zion Williamson, but there were clearly the NBA was looking for a reason to add a few teams, and one of them certainly was New Orleans. That they knew if they took the Pelicans, they were going to have to take the other teams that they're tied with and maybe a team behind like they did. But I firmly believe that Zion Williamson had an effect on what they've decided to do. I really do.
And we talked about it already, you know, box office sales. The NBA ratings have been down. We saw Zion. We did shows waiting for, you know, his season to kick off way back in October, early November, and he got injured. But we saw when he was on the court, there was a buzz. He's a phenom. And Sacramento, you know, I have love for it. It's my second home. But Buddy Hield, I don't think this was done for people to get to see the Kings. I think this was done, and I'm not even mad at it, for Zion Williamson, where he's at, what he means, and the fact that he's also, you would say, well, why is this team not already in the A spot? He's got a team that can, they're entertaining. They play a nice style of basketball that's easy on the eyes, and I just envision if the Lakers were to be the one seed and somehow New Orleans were to handle their business, you're telling me it's Zion against LeBron. LeBron came in with the fanfare that Zion had, and here we go. Not a passing of the torch by any means, but, dude, that would be must-see basketball for me, and to me, the league executives – you know, I don't know for sure, but there's no doubt, Steiny and Bonte, that had to play a part of it. I'll just call it the Zion factor, and I get it.
Yeah, it's not fair, though.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's not fair, man. It makes me feel some type of way, man, about the NBA extending this to the Western Conference.
What would you guys have done?
Honestly, I would have went 16. I would have went 16, Bonte. That's my
due to the timing, Steiny. Yeah, due to the timing of everything, and knowing that the NBA is coming back July 31st, it feels like you just need to get the playoffs in. And I get it. Maybe have some scrimmages, but 8 regular season games. You know, how long are they going to take? And then how fair is it for the teams that are already in the playoffs? You get what? And I look, if it's the Pelicans or the Spurs, I don't believe, you know, or the Wizards in the East, I don't believe they're going to beat the number one seeds in Milwaukee and the LA Lakers. But they are at a disadvantage for not having played games for so damn long, like the rust factor. Or you could look at it the other way, saying, hey, they got fresher legs. They'll be ready to go. These teams have played 8 regular season games, plus the play-in tournament. They'll be a bit more gassed. But I almost feel my first instinct was they're kind of at a disadvantage with these regular season games. So I would have gone straight to the playoffs, Steiny. What about you?
Yeah, I think having all 22 teams play 8 games is a way to kind of do both. You know, so guys like LeBron and Kawhi and you know, Milwaukee and the big boys, they get 8 games under their belt, and chances are the Lakers are still going to be the number one seed. So then when the playoffs, like, I didn't quite understand it. I thought the six teams that are the extra 22, we're going to play some games to determine the spot. Then they start the playoffs. But, yeah, every team's going to be playing.
You know what? I see it right here, and that's the confusing part. I'm listening to myself here. Every team, per team, 8 regular season games per team.
Right.
That's what's going to go down. So, that, you know what? I stay corrected there. Every team will get a chance to get their legs under them or whatnot, which makes it interesting. If you're one of these playoff teams, what if you suffer an injury, man, in one of these regular season games? And now the seedings could change here. Man. My mind just opened up here, Steiniku, to where the Sixers may move up. The Celtics may move down. The Rockets may move up. The Jazz may move down. Everything's on the table now. Ah, I see.
Well, and here's one thing that I think we're going to see, too, and I know people are going to roll their eyes. We're going to see load management in those 8 games. Because, let's look at a player like Kawhi Leonard, who is high maintenance in terms of his body. All right, so now Kawhi Leonard hasn't played in 4 months. I guarantee you, Kawhi Leonard's going to play 14 minutes the first game, 18 minutes the second game. If there's a back to back, I guarantee he'll take it off. You know what I mean? The guys aren't going to come back and play 40 minutes. I shouldn't just say Kawhi Leonard and LeBron James. I bet you a lot of teams kind of ease into this by giving their players, 25 to 30 minutes maybe a game to start.
So, that's a fair point, Stani. I'm going to go foul pole here because I want this to be fair when you talk about the 8-game schedule. Do you think the Kings, the Pelicans, the Suns and the Spurs, I would like to see them all play the same teams and each other. Do you think we're going to get that, or are they just going to manipulate it to where it'll just be the last 8 games that they were going to play anyway? Because what if one of the teams got the Warriors twice that, you know, that's originally already scheduled? I just wonder how fair would that be to a team that didn't have the Warriors on there twice, assuming – you look at that like, man, we got a good chance to knock off Golden State tonight.
That's a really good question. And Bonte did this earlier. The Warriors, the Spurs had the Warriors twice more on their schedule. The Spurs. Portland had the Warriors once, and Sacramento had the Warriors once. That's what Bonte said. And what I think is they've got to, the 8, basically. Matt, I think his name's Matt Winnick, the guy who makes the schedule. I think what's going to happen, he's going to make a 8-game schedule for 22 teams. And I think he's got to make, and he's probably looking for a way that the winning percentage of the opponents are virtually the same. I would think.
Okay.
Know what I mean?
Gotcha. Yeah, but, no doubt.
Yeah, I can't imagine Memphis is going to get its schedule and go, oh, boy, we got the Lakers twice, we got the Clippers, we have Milwaukee, and, the New Orleans Pelicans are playing Orlando, they're playing Phoenix twice, you know what I mean? And there's got to be some balance there, Goo, because you're right. That part's got to be. Every team's got to have an equal chance to get in. Or not equal chance, but at least the kind of chance they would have had if you resume the regular season and they were 3.5 games back.
No doubt.
Bonte, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Tease me.
I can't believe a grown-ass man using that word. But Steiny, he comes down my road. You do, too, because I feel like I'm a sports romantic. You know, like the Bad News Bears turned it around. We saw the Indians in Major League. And if you're the Kings, the Spurs, Phoenix, not only did you think the season was over and may not get played, now you got a chance. And if I'm on one of those teams right now, if I'm Devin Booker, I'm on Zoom. Let's go, baby. We got action. And that's why I like the NCAA tournament, the conference tournament, study, to where this is your last chance for the bottom feeders. But if I'm one of these 4 teams and a couple teams coming out the East and it looked like you weren't getting in because we go Joe Montana with the normal 16 teams, now we got action, Jack. I would just have a pep in my step is all I guess I'm saying. Let's go. You know,
888-957 888-957-9570. That's our text line and call line. We've merged both into one. 888-957-9570. How are you guys feeling out there about the NBA returning July 31st with 22 teams heading down to Orlando? Real quick, Steiny, just saw something from Jackie McMullen here on Get Up. The NBA possibly could have the finals. When we're talking about next season, the finals could be somewhere in August and maybe even September for the 2020 and 2021 season.
Okay. I'm for that. One thing I want to make sure I'm clear on, because I might have said it. I think I did suggest it was wrong. Let's say this happens. The Memphis Grizzlies currently in the eighth spot. They're 3.5 games above ahead of three teams. Let's say the New Orleans Pelicans, after every team plays eight games, the Pelicans are the number eight seed and the Grizzlies are nine, they would still have a play-in.
Play-in tournament. Because it's within four games, right?
Correct. Memphis, Memphis is sitting pretty, as they should be. So if Memphis can, Memphis can only miss the playoffs if they fall to 10. But if they go to nine, then they'll have to beat the Pelicans twice.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
So
you're
that,
in the eighth spot.
I kind of that, to tell you the truth.
You're in the eighth spot. You have to win just one game. You got to win one game to get into the playoffs. If you're a nine seed, it's simple. If you're a nine seed within four games, you play that eight seed in the playing tournament, you got to win twice.
Yeah.
You got to win twice if you're the ninth seed. You have to win once if you're the eighth seed. Once is an eight seed, twice is a nine seed. So this is going to be interesting here on how this kicks off. Every team playing eight games, eight regular season games per team, play in for the eight seeds, July 31st through October 12th. The vote, it will be voted on tomorrow to ratify, and the NBA could be making a return in late July. Actually, the last day of July, July 31st here. So. Yeah, it's a while here, but now guys can start ramping up here, getting ready for a playoff run, which is going to be very, very fascinating when you think about the aspect of not having fans, the home. And we'll, next segment, we got to get into this home court stuff. I think it's I don't know where it came from, but it's
it is
a little weird. It's a little strange here, but you know what? NBA basketball will be back here to kind of take some things off of our minds here about what's going on in this country, fellas.
Yeah, I mean it's a distraction right now from what's going on, and it's what a lot of people always want sports to be, a distraction. So that's it's something else to discuss, and it's pretty interesting if you're a sports fan, no doubt.
Yeah.
Ooh, you get more excited?
Yeah, I am getting excited, but man, when you talk about the end of July, that's a long. You know, again, here I am, all happy. I said I want sports back, but I guess I wanted the microwave society. I want it right now. You know, to come back in 3 weeks. I know that can't be done, but we'll talk about it. And as close as we get back, I'll get more. The excitement will grow. I just want to say this: these teams, all depending on what your state. What phase you're in, can't even go back. I know some can. I wonder how fair that is. You know, like the Kings can go to their practice facility, but maybe the Pelicans can't. I wonder how all that is going to work. But I guess at the end of the day, you're going to have more than ample time to get up and running, per se, with the phases all dependent on how COVID-19 goes.
No doubt about it.
Or is going, go ahead, not goes, or is going.
Go ahead, Steiny.
Exactly. I was just going to say, they're clearly going to have. I don't think they're too worried about that part of it, Goo, because I think they figure if somebody's got a little advantage, look, everybody's going to have eight games down in Orlando. So,
okay.
Right. I'm just assuming, but I could be wrong. But you're right. Some places are open. Some places aren't.
All right, here's what's coming up on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by the California Highway Patrol Motorcycle Safety Program. Emmanuel Acho, we interviewed him yesterday at the end of the show. We will replay that interview at noon. Check out his stuff on Twitter. It's on our Twitter page at 95.7 The Game. Uncomfortable Conversations with the Black Man. Emmanuel Acho was awesome on these airwaves. We'll replay that at noon. We'll talk about Grant Napier being dismissed by the Sacramento Kings and KHTK, a radio station up in Sacramento. We'll get into what Drew Brees had to say, because we're not going to forget what's going on in this country. Sports right now is secondary, but we will talk about the NBA coming back, and that's all sponsored by the California Highway Patrol Motorcycle Safety Program. As we all start to get back on the road again, now is the perfect time to think about taking a California Motorcyclist Safety Course. The course allows you to skip the riding skills test at the DMV and is required for riders under 21. Become a better rider. Learn more at CaliforniaMotorcyclist.com.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
As we get closer to basketball, fellas, we move farther apart from having a baseball season. Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic has just tweeted out that Major League Baseball rejected the union's proposal for a 114-game season and said it would not send a counter, sources tell The Athletic. League said it has started talks with owners about playing a shorter season without fans, and that it is ready to discuss additional ideas with the union. But baseball, just completely far apart in terms of having a season. It's looking more and more like we will not have a baseball season, and it looks like we will have a basketball season, which is good news. Good news, considering everything that's going on in this country. It's a glimmer of good news, I should say.
You know what? Who cares if baseball doesn't come back?
Right, cares
now. Yeah, because the NBA is going to get you right to football season now.
There you go.
So that, I mean,
to hell with
I don't
them.
Mean who cares, but what I mean is they people are going to have people are going to be hungry for sports. If baseball misses the boat, they miss the boat. And but I mean, I'm just saying that.
How much will this hurt baseball? Like, how much is it going to hurt the sport? I mean, it's already dying
bleeding,
in a sense.
Yeah, it was dying and bleeding. That's bleak. Right. Who are you? I mean, that's incredible to me. You're the least sport that could afford not to play, and they're acting like everything is all good, and they're the most popular sport. We could make the argument that hockey's past baseball. I mean, I'm just saying, I mean, to hell with both of them, the players and owners, if they can't come to an agreement. I just hope they're playing chicken, and at the last second, they get something done.
But get that out of here!
We love baseball, the above-average baseball fan, if that's even anything. I'm hurt that we don't have it, but to hell with them if they can't get it right.
Well, the one thing we haven't talked about is the Warriors season officially over. Officially over. What, they 15 and 50? Is that what their record?
15 and 50.
They couldn't hide.
15
So they've got the worst record in the league, which means they're guaranteed a top four draft pick. And, you know, like, you want to talk about, like, think about this. Think about 5 years down the line. How the hell are we going to look back on this Warriors season? Nobody's going to remember it. It's like, it's just wild. The Warriors have gone to the finals 5 straight years. Then the next year they stunk and nobody cared. And there was so much more going on. And next year, in a perfect world, come Christmas, we're as back to normal as possible. And, oh, here comes Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Wiseman and Pascal and Draymond Green and dang. You know what I mean? It would be crazy.
Vontae, I'm on the other side. I think we're going to remember it just from this standpoint. It was the first season after KD. And we know they didn't really get a chance to do anything because Steph got hurt. But it was what culminated after he left. And I want to ask you two this. If you're a member of the Warriors, is this salt in the wound that now you already knew you weren't going to make the playoffs, but then it's like, damn, have we just, you know, not been as bad? Maybe we wouldn't be one of the 8 teams that's not going to be getting, you know, going to the party per se. Because I'm just wondering, does that kind of add salt in the wound, the fact that they expanded the playoffs and still you couldn't get in?
You know,
hey, Guru. They were 15 and 50.
That's a problem.
I hear they were 15 and 50 this season.
I hear you.
They have they. They're. I mean, they.
It was a
after Steph. After that. Steph Curry broke his hand, the playoffs were done, and everybody realized that at the time. So there's no bitter pill to swallow here if you're the Golden State Warriors. I don't think anybody – how about this? Is anybody going to say this? Let's just say hypothetically, Warriors come back and go to the finals next season. Let me tell you what I will not allow you to do, Guru. Should have been seven straight finals. Like, I'm not going to allow you to do that. You know what I mean?
Bonte, he won't have to worry about that. You guys won't have to worry about that.
You will sneak that in. You will sneak that in somehow, some way. No, honestly, when you think about this 15-50 season, we're going to forget. We're going to forget the fact that they only won one game in January. Think about that.
I can't.
They
remember
won one game in January,
hell.
And you can't remember anything about it. Anything about it? We're not going to remember D'Angelo Russell being a Golden State Warrior. Remember that? That felt like so long ago. Felt like it was so long. Like, last summer, we were arguing in Las Vegas on the impact D'Angelo Russell will have. You know? I'm sitting here at the Thomas Mack saying he could come off the bench and be here Ginobili. Well, he's in Minnesota. He's long gone.
Right.
He's long gone. Kevon Looney. We're going to forget about his last year. We're gonna forget that Clay was on vacation and chilling and having fun, the time of his life. Draymond Green gets a pass, believe it or not. He gets a pass. Well, maybe not from a lot of fans, but for me, it's just like, well, it's a lost season. Who cares? They stuck. Like, who cares what Draymond Green did?
I'm just thinking out loud. I'm just thinking. Let's say I'm a veteran NBA player who. And it's very comfortable in the league. Let's just put it that I got a guaranteed deal. And I stop playing whatever, March, whatever they stop playing. And I'm like, I'm kind of staying in shape, but it's you don't think you're coming back because your team. And now you basically find out today, hey, 6 months off, another 6 months off coming. And we don't have to get back. You know, I don't have to play basketball again until, you know, November 1st or December 1st. It's like, oh, my God. It's like I'm going
to. Does that help the Warriors?
I don't know. I mean, the question is, you know, if you're Draymond Green, like how will you have spent March to December? I mean. Should he be working out every day? No, probably not. Should he take 4 months off? Probably not. Like, I get it. It's a good problem to have. But, man, if I'm a veteran player, I might just shut it down for 3 months right now and start thinking about, you know, a regimen 2-3 months before December rolls around.
I'll say this about Draymond and other players like him. Who didn't have the greatest season, and we understand why. He was shorthanded, but when you talk about his father time caught up to a player, the cloak and dagger, undefeated, Draymond and other players like him will have no excuse in 2021 from a physical standpoint when they won't get the benefit of the doubt, because it's going to be like whoever the said player is, like you damn near had a whole year off. This is what we see is real. It's tangible. This is what it is now. There's no, you know, dealing with this or that. Everybody's going to be fresh. But my last thing about this Warrior season, you can remember what you want, and it's up to you. I just hate it was the first season in Chase, and that's why I feel like, you know, years later, well, it'll never kind of die, Bonte and Stein. It'll always be what it was, and people won't be there to say, oh, that was a year Clay and Steph weren't there. They got injured. It'll just be that, you know, that first season in your new digs that will always be a reminder of how bad this season was.
You know what? That may be what people remembers, Guru. They may just remember that, man, remember the first year the Warriors moved to San Francisco, moved back to San Francisco from Oracle Arena? Remember that first year, man? Dragan Bender was on that roster. Remember Dragan Bender signed a couple 10 days on it? Like, it's going to be one hell of a trivia question or a trivia game when you think about the first year back in San Francisco at Chase Center. I mean, that's about it, Stardy and Goo. That's about it. But you look at, like, what moments could you take away from this season? What moments are we going to hang on and be like, man, remember that day? Like, I guess the only moment I'm going to remember, or two moments, is when Steph got hurt. And when Steph came back against the Raptors.
I mean, you won your Chief jersey.
Oh, no, no. We can't even forget about that. Right. We can't even forget about that. I don't even remember that. Nobody's going to remember that.
Christmas Day versus the Rockets?
Licky Kyle.
Oh, yeah.
It was a win. Remind me what happened there.
The Warriors beat the Rockets.
Yeah. Russell Westbrook got ejected in that game.
Yeah, they always.
Congratulations.
Well, you know, here's, you know, you bring up the arena, Bonte, and listen, one of the things I always do when I think of stuff is I think best case, worst case. I just always do. And what I think about is, you know, one of the things within the realm of possibility, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it's certainly within the realm of possibility, is that when the Warriors come back, they're just not, like, it's over. Okay, we're going to realize they're no longer a championship team. They might be pretty good, but they're no longer a championship team. At that point, they're going to talk about moving to the city was, you know what I mean? Like, that was the start of it.
Yeah.
Like, once left Oakland, it all went downhill.
That's a possibility
if they can't get back on top.
No doubt. That's all I'm saying.
Especially because of this first year, and people are going to remember all the stuff besides basketball. You know.
Yep.
Yeah. Nah, just no for me, Bonte, you were in there. The Warrior season to me, and I'm being selfish, is the first day I went to Chase, walking up there. Knowing what I had in my mind, what I had envisioned it was going to look like, and seeing that big video board outside and the water around you, that was amazing. And unfortunately for me, that was the biggest takeaway and the shining moment for the Warriors. Is they did move Steiny, as you mentioned. They got their arena in San Francisco. But, yeah, I mean, it's a cathedral in itself. But I was just wowed at what I was watching and where I was watching it at in regard to what that building, how it's constructed. I mean, it's a big boy. And like I said, unfortunately, the sad part is that was a highlight of the Warriors 2019-20 season.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. What is your silver lining for this Golden State Warriors season? What are you taking away from this season? Any moments come to mind? 888-957-9570. Call in and let us know your thoughts. Here in the text line, a couple people were saying, you know what? This is the best and worst scenario. From the 707, they'll remember it as the worst season ever until they win a championship, and then they'll forget. That's far-fetched a little bit. 510,
wow.
This is the best worst thing that happened since we lost Game 7, and everybody was down, and then we picked up the rent this year. We were sucky as Warriors, but we have to watch to the depth. So that's what that is.
Well, to me, okay, so I just put out there the worst-case scenario. The best-case scenario would be the Warriors get a draft pick, make a move or two in the offseason, and they come back and win it next year. They win it. And if the Warriors were to win it next year, NBA fans are going to be so pissed that it'll be indescribable, because you're going to look and you're going to say, well, the Warriors lost an NBA title, and then they got Kevin Durant, and then they lost another NBA title, and the pandemic came, and those guys got hurt, and they got to rest all year, and they came back, and now, like, a lot of NBA fans ain't gonna be liking the Warriors being able to climb back up on top if that's what they can do.
And they won't feel sorry for him either after those five straight NBA final appearances, getting Durant after a finals loss. People are, they have Warrior fatigue, Bonte. I think they're like, they want to see more of this from the Dubs.
Yeah, I hear you. But again, like, I know this rest and this long layoff is going to help Steph Curry. It's going to help Klay Thompson. It's going to help Draymond Green recharge their batteries. But does it help Andrew Wiggins, who is new to the system, who's only played one game with Steph Curry? Does it help with Jordan Poole and Marquese Chris and Pascal? Does it help these young guys? Like, does it help the team overall? Because you got to think Steve Kerr and Ron Adams, Jaren Collins, do they really know what they have in these youngsters yet? How could we know? How could they know, I should say?
Well, I think that's a good point. I think that's, like, to me, I'm willing to live with that if I'm the Warriors, because, like, every team's got some young players. Now, the young players on the 22 teams that are going to be playing in Orlando, I think that definitely matters. Like, they're going to get some experience some way or another. I think you kind of stay on point and you just look at the big three and just kind of leave it there say, look, it's got to help them. Here, 650 with a good one, Bonte. About this year, Eric Pascal showed he's a baller. That's true.
Yeah.
Eric Pascal.
He went through his rookie slump.
Yeah.
He's going to be up in cover. Yeah.
He's going to be a part of this team.
I look at it like this. Bonte, that's legit about Wiggins and the young guys, but I feel like this. It's not like they're injured and the show's going on. Other players aren't playing as well, so I almost feel like it's even Steven in regard to, they could be working out or doing something on their own, but no, the competition is not getting, that experience of playing to where you're falling behind. It's kind of like riding a bike, easy for me to say, but you kind of pick up, quote-unquote, where you left off, and you look at all the other teams that had to put their hoop on the shelf. So I just feel like just from a competitive standpoint, Steiny and Bonte, they're not getting left behind to where other players and teams are perfecting their craft or skill, if you get where I'm going.
I hear you. I just we talk about big moments in this year's Warriors season, and Chase Center opens season opener against the Clippers. They get blown out by, like, what, 30 or 40?
Oh,
it wasn't
man.
Even close. I think they were down like 12
what was
or
15 the spread?
Nothing to start the game.
Well,
that's the thing.
It's one of the easiest bets of all time.
Oh,
I didn't make it, by the way.
And I didn't make it either, Steiny.
Yeah, I think I did.
You know, that was one. No, I didn't. Not going to lie to you guys. That was one of those games where I actually was calling my 401k to see if I could take somebody out, because it just, the Clippers were minus two. I'm not kidding here. I had two. It was a liquidate all assets. What was I missing there? It was almost as if it was good, too good to be true. But we get the season opener, and then again, just not many moments. I mean, I guess they beat the Blazers. They beat Dame Dollar. That was a nice little win for them. Again, the Rockets on Christmas Day. We saw Zion at Chase Center almost break a rim. But really, there was really nothing to hang your hat on. And you know what? For a guy like Draymond Green, I'm looking at him this season. How many people will remember the season Draymond Green had this year? Like, honestly, how many people are going to remember what he did this season? They're going to say 5 years from now, they'll be like, if he bounces back and becomes a Draymond he was in 2015, 2016, right, 2017, people aren't going to bring up the 2020 season at all. They're not going to bring this year up at all.
No doubt. But
so
if he doesn't,
seasons, it goes a long way, B. Steiny. Yeah,
but you know what? If he's noticeably not the same player,
oh, man,
after he comes back, then everybody's going to be like, yeah, he was never the same after that fifth.
Yeah.
He was never the same after the fifth trip to the finals.
Yeah. No doubt.
And they might even, you know what? They might even say, and then after the pandemic, he never got into the shape he was in his, fifth year or whatever. I don't know. Or they might say, man, he used that to rejuvenate himself, and he looked pretty good. He's in Defensive Player of the Year consideration again.
Man.
Is that
possible? That happens.
That was a disaster. I'll never forget.
Go ahead, Guru.
No, I'm sorry, B. I was just saying it's one thing to get blown out at home to the Clippers like the Warriors did opening night. But how symbolic Steph getting hurt in a game against the Phoenix Suns to where they were down 30. They might have even been down at one point in that game more than 30. And for him to get hurt, I mean, that was the season in a nutshell, just like he was there for most, you know, a majority of the game. And I just – that's just crazy to me that the luck went against him that bad to where not only are you losing to the lowly Suns, sorry, Nash, but you lose your star player, and basically the season was over that night.
You know, the one thing about Draymond Green is we always say we had Fitz on the show. He came to studio, you know, we were back at the studio. What was that, March, early March? But he said Draymond Green's a guy he would bet against. And we've always kind of said that about Draymond Green. Doubted in college, you know, becomes an All-American, helps Michigan State go to a couple Final Fours. You know, he comes in as a second-round pick. Nobody really expects anything from him. He gets his body into NBA shape. He becomes a DPOY. And it's like, whenever you doubt Draymond Green, he comes back to bite you. Can we continue with that narrative about Draymond Green? Because I'm almost like, when I think about next season with the Warriors, sure, there's a lot of pressure to get back into contention, to get back into the Western Conference Finals contention, NBA Finals contention. But Draymond Green, individually, with the way he's talked on All the Smoke podcast, with Stack Jack and Matt Barnes, with the way he's been barking, it's like there's more pressure on him to perform because his fan base, some of the fan base has started to shift against Draymond Green, saying, you know what, he doesn't deserve that contract. He should be the guy shipped out. It should be KD instead of Draymond Green. And I'm almost willing to say, what I'm saying is, I'm not willing to bet against Draymond Green quite yet. It's one of those situations where I have to believe it to see it. I have to believe that he's washed by him playing like he's washed. I really do feel like he's got a couple more years of high-level basketball within him to help this team get back into contention. He's just a guy I don't want to bet against. You know what I'm saying? Know what I'm saying?
Yes, I absolutely know what you're saying.
Man, no respect. Oh, well.
And he deserves the benefit of the doubt. All those guys deserve – Looney deserves the benefit of the doubt when it comes to that stuff. The issue is that if Looney comes back and is – or doesn't come back, or either doesn't come back or is not the same player, like nobody knows who Kevon Looney is. He doesn't – you know, he's very quiet. He's a great guy. Draymond Green brings a lot of attention to himself. So because of that, you're right, Bonte. People are going to be watching him a little more closely, and I think that's fair, and that's what happens when you get a contract like he got at the stage of his career that he got it. And then even though it was a small sample size and it was under different conditions, you didn't really do much that first year, but that's fine. We're okay with that, you know. But you got to do it next year. You got to do it next year, Draymond.
And let's put the right on the table. When he makes comments that on that All the Smoke podcast that his impact is up there or mirrors what Charles Barkley is, he raises the bar for himself. And I'm going to say this, Bonte and Steiny, you guys both mentioned it. He does deserve the benefit of the doubt. But if you weren't to answer the bell, what concerns me is what comes after the benefit of the doubt. Then the Warriors got a major problem because that means – you can't count on him being what he was in 15 and 16, 17. So I know the team's changing, and regardless of who they draft or get in free agency or whatnot via trade, the mid-level, he's got to step his game up for the Warriors to bounce back. And I'm here to watch it. I got my popcorn, but I just don't know how confident I am with this pandemic, the fact that, you know, there has been no basketball, if he'll take advantage of that. Like, if we saw him now, like we saw Harden, I don't know if you guys saw a picture of James Harden. Looks like he needs a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, but I guess it's a good thing, less weight. But I don't know if Draymond, from a physical standpoint, has took advantage of the time off. I don't know that, and maybe he's got more time to do it if he hasn't done it. But this is a big plateau for him in his career. When you talk about him being a top-tier player and Steph and Klay being able to count on him.
Yeah, let's continue to discuss the NBA and talk about some of the scenarios discussed in terms of the playoff. There's just some crazy, crazy proposals on the table for when the NBA resumes July 31st in Orlando. We'll get into that. Plus, we'll talk about what happened with Grant Napier, the Sacramento Kings play-by-play voice. He resigned last night, or yesterday afternoon, I should say, after making some comments on Twitter. We'll get to that. Plus, Emmanuel Acho, at 12 o'clock. We'll replay that interview that we had yesterday with Emmanuel Acho of ESPN. Really, really good stuff. That'll happen at noon, and it's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Still open to serve the community they love with full-service banking, no compromises.